Thank you.
First Peter chapter 3. I was going to preach on preachers being late for church tonight, but Brother Allen beat me to that. So I have to pick something else, amen? And I hope you love me tonight. I appreciate all the support, and folks have been saying congratulations and can't wait for you to be here and all that good stuff. And I hope there is a few ladies that actually do love me and are concerned about my health, because I'm going to preach a very interesting message tonight that might put me in need of a few bodyguards, amen? And men can't hit women, so I'll need some ladies that care about me, amen? Let me borrow Anna for a few minutes after church, all right? I know she'll take up for me if nobody else will, amen? 1 Peter chapter 3, want to preach on God's will for wives. God's will for wives. God does have a will for wives. And I want to say what's on my heart. I'm not, I say that in jest. I'm not afraid of you ladies. I've got to tell the truth, no matter if it makes you mad or makes you happy. I hope it makes you right with God ultimately in the end. And I don't really even mind if you get mad, as long as you go home and open your Bible and see if the Bible didn't say what I said it said. And if it does, get right with God. It'd be all right if you get mad. I've been mad about a few things myself. Amen. But I've been mad about some things the preacher said and prayed about it, and God showed me the truth about the matter. And if you're right about it and if God's right about it, then what do you got to be mad at me for? Amen. My opinion don't matter that much anyway, does it? In this day and age that we live in, you hear that a lot. I don't care what no man thinks. Well, why are you so mad for? You're telling on yourself. You're telling on yourself. Baptists are the world's worst at telling on themselves. I don't care what no man says. And you're out of church for 6 months, and some knocks on, where you been? Well, I got mad. I thought you didn't worry about that kind of stuff. Amen. Baptist stands up with tears running down his face and says, I'm so unworthy. But when the preacher says you're unworthy, you move your membership. You're telling on yourself. Amen. You're telling on yourself. Well, listen, I'm going to preach about wives, but let me say this. I don't think there's a more liberal preacher, Baptist preacher, independent Baptist, Bible-believing preacher than me when it comes to what a woman can do. I'm not a male chauvinist. Proverbs chapter 31 has a woman doing a lot more work outside the home than she's doing inside the home. Read it for yourself. It's in there. It ain't changed. Been the same all these years. She's doing a lot of work. She can do a lot of work. But what she's doing outside the home and what she's doing inside the home is not really the big item on the checklist. The big item on a lady's checklist is the same as the big item on a man's checklist. And that is, he right with God? Now, don't end there, though. You think it does because you're a rebel. Baptists been using I'm right with God as an excuse not to be right with their fellow man for far too long. You say, well, I'm right with God. Are you right with your wife? You say, I'm right with God. Are you right with your husband? If you're not right with your husband, if you're not right with your wife, you're not right with God. I'm doctrinally correct. I don't care if you are the doctrine. I don't care what excuse you got. If you're not right with God, if you're not right with your husband, if you're not right with your wife, if you're not right with your parents, you're not right. Amen. I'm not even asking you how you feel about it. You can be wrong with God and wrong with your husband and feel perfectly all right about it. Amen. Because you're a rebel. You're right at home. Amen. So we're going to read and see what the Bible says about these things. And I'm going to preach these things, and fellas will probably, you know, men are jerks, and when they hear something about, you know, something their wife just fussed at them about or something, a preacher says something about that, they'll be quick to say, amen, preacher. But I'm going to get around to you fellas too, amen, so be very careful. You'll be hollering loud at the first of the sermon, and then they'll be hollering loud at the end of the sermon. I promise you that. Amen? Because, listen, I don't care what kind of relationship you're in, whether it's with God or whether it's your husband or your wife. There are no such thing as as fellowship. There's no such thing as relationship that only includes one person. If you've got a relationship going on with one person, you're a weirdo. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Yeah. Sitting around, we had a fella, this lady said she was rode the bus. I rode the bus to church too. Go bus kids. Amen. Amen. But we had this fella on the back of our bus, and Baptist churches attract weirdos like magnets. I tell you what, we had a fella sitting on the back of the bus, and he'd hold a key upside down, look through the hole. He'd be walking around with that key, and he'd be talking to you about the weather or something, and all of a sudden he'd go. It's on the bus, amen. Weirdos. And he'd sit there all the time talking, just carrying on the conversation with himself, just him. And I think that's sometimes how people think that they are. They don't mind God. They don't mind their husband. When I say mind God, I'm not talking about, in this sense, being obedient. I'm talking about you don't give no consideration for God. You don't give no consideration about your husband. You don't give no consideration about your wife. You don't give it no consideration about the people you work with, your boss, those people that are under you. It's just you and your concerns and your situations, all that matters, and you're headed for heartbreak. And you're headed for a breakdown in whatever situation that is, because you're not going to survive on your own. Amen. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. You're like the little weirdo sitting on the back of the bus. They asked him what he saw through that key. He said, "I see Jesus." That's what he said. That's the way he said it too. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll read the scripture. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity tonight. God, I do pray for your help and protection. I pray you'd forgive me my sins. God, I pray you'd help. Church is in a bad shape, and the world's in a bad shape. Lord, I pray you'd help us and lead us and inspire us, give us direction in our lives. Lord, I pray you'd save men and save women from themselves. And folks that are born again, I pray, God, you'd save us from the direction that we're heading in, God, before we tear things up. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to follow you, help us to see the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I believe you are the way. And Lord, I don't believe there is no other way except for what's here in the book. And I pray you'd help me tonight to make it clear. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be as free as I possibly can of bravado and trying to sound cool or neat or any such thing as that. And I pray you'd just help me to preach the truth. And God, I pray you'd get glory and honor to your name again. Forgive me of my sins and where I've come short. And I thank you, God, for what you'll do. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Likewise, ye wives. Again, let me say this. I think I started this thought and I didn't finish it, but I don't think you could find a more liberal-minded person than me when it comes to women. I'm not a male chauvinist. I care and I have concern about things like this. And matter of fact, I'm oftentimes caught up in things that I probably shouldn't, because I do care about what goes on with men and what goes on with women, what goes on with boys and girls. And sometimes I stick my nose in other people's business when I probably shouldn't. You're probably the same way. I don't know if it's for good motives or not, but oftentimes we do. And I'm telling you, when I look at the world today and I look at women, I look at boys and girls, the Bible calls a woman a weaker vessel. Whether you like that or not is up to you. Whether you believe that or not is up to you. But I see in churches, I see in the world, I see the devil's influence, and I see the devil trying to put weak people into positions where they can be broke the most. I mean broke the hardest. I mean broke to the fullest extent. The devil's trying to, he's not putting you in a position where you can mash your toe. He's trying to put you in a position where he can break your skull and keep you from coming back and being effective at all. I mean, if the devil could get you hooked on cigarettes and that's all he wanted, then that's what he'd do. But he's just trying to get you on the cigarettes so he can get you on meth. Or get you on some other thing that's harder or worse and get you to the point where you can't come back. And that's what he's trying to do to society. That's why society is getting darker and darker and darker. And let me tell you this, having said all that, the purpose of this message is not to browbeat women or to make women feel less than whatever you want to feel like. I don't know what a woman wants to feel like, but I'm not trying to bring you down, amen? I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to put you in the strongest possible position. And what I'm going to say for women goes for men, it goes for preachers, it goes for deacons, it goes for Christians all the way across the board. And the strongest possible position that you could ever be in your life is a position of submission. Amen. Submission. That's what he says here. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Subjection. Do you see that? That's talking about submission. Let me say this right at the outset. A Christian of all people should know this. Submission is not about doing what you're told. It's about doing what you're supposed to do. There's a difference right there. A person that's under bondage does what he's told without questioning, without thinking. That's bondage. That's slavery. A person that's in subjection, a person that's in submission, he does what he's supposed to do. She does what she's supposed to do. And he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Let me tell you how to spot somebody that's under bondage rather than somebody that's under submission. You get right with God, you begin to pick up some standards, and along comes somebody who has less standards than you, and it makes you bitter rather than sad. You see somebody dabbling with something that you wouldn't dare to touch, although it was just 6 months ago and you was touching worse than that. Now you can't talk with them no more. I can't get around them no more. What's the matter? What about the person that put on their knee boots and waded into the muck and the mire when you was down there? See, you're under bondage. You've never been set free. You're still justifying yourself by the things you've done, not for what Jesus done for you. So, that's not the truth. It's the truth. It's written on your face. It's written on your forehead. It's written in your life. It's written in the bitterness that people can see. They can smell it on you. You're not under subjection, you're under bondage. Amen? Submission is not about doing what you're told. It's about doing the things that you're supposed to do. Amen? Amen? And let me say this. You say, Brother Mike, don't you think we're supposed to have standards? I doubt anybody believes that more than I do. This age is eat up with rebels. And one of the first things you can spot on a rebel, if that rebel happens to be a Christian, is they'll holler, grace of God. The grace of God. So I'm not just talking to the folks with a lot of standards. I talk to those without any standards as well. They say, hey, you can't judge me. I got news for you. That stuff you're doing, it's already been judged. I got news for you. That stuff you don't want folks to judge you over was judged at Calvary when they pinned that on Jesus Christ and crucified him for it like he was guilty for it. That stuff's already been judged. I'll judge you if I want to. You can call me a legalist. You can call me whatever you want to. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And I've got news for you. There's only one standard for what's right and wrong in this world, and that's the law of God. You find it in the Old Testament, and every New Testament principle, every New Testament commandment that's ever been made was based on that Old Testament law. Amen. There's no new righteousness in the Old Testament. Amen. The law that was written reveals the righteousness that's in Christ. That's why when you look at the law, you say, I can never live up to that, because you can never live up to Christ. Amen. So when it comes to standards, you're not going to have no problem with that. For with me, I don't mind preaching standards. If God told me to preach on this, that, or the other thing, I wouldn't mind preaching on it. Wouldn't care where I was at. Wouldn't care what was going on. I wouldn't care if it was a national conference on encouragement. I'd get up and rake it through the coals. Wouldn't make one difference to me. Don't care nothing about that. Don't care nothing about winning no popularity contest. Don't care nothing about fitting into no cliques. I don't care nothing about getting invited to preach no revivals. Don't care nothing about that. I'm for principles. Amen. I'm for legalism, if that's what you want to call it. I'm for rules and regulations. I'm for all that stuff. But I said all that to say this. I've never one time, not one time, told my wife she had to do anything. Amen. When we got married, my wife said, can I wear pants or not? I said, can't you figure that out for yourself? If you're old enough to get married, you're old enough to figure out whether you can wear pants or not, can't you? Can you do that? Did you know our Christianity is not based on whether we wear pants or not? Well, bless God, where I come from, only the men wear pants. Them pants and women's wearing's made for men. Okay, you put them on.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll take you down to JCPenney. We'll go to the ladies' department. I'll buy you the most expensive ladies' pants in the store, and you wear them around town. You know why you won't do it? They for ladies, that's why. You know what a woman can do if she wants to? She can get down on her knees and pray. And she can tell God, I want to be modest. And God will bring her up off her knees, a modest woman. Amen. She'll go around dressing modest and she'll do what's right. And she'll teach her kids how to do that if she wants to. Amen. If she don't want to, if she don't want to be in subjection, if she don't want to be in subjection to God, if she don't want to be in subjection to her husband, if she don't want to be in subjection, then she won't be in subjection. I don't care if you make her wear 10 dresses every time she goes out of the house. She's not going to be right with God.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, we're supposed to raise our kids. I ain't talking about your kids. I'm talking about your wife. Amen. I hope you didn't marry no kid. Amen. Amen. That could be the problem in some cases. You married a kid.
Yeah.
Let me just park right there just a minute. Let me give you an illustration. I told you this is going to apply not just to wives, but to preachers and deacons and every other thing. Did you know your wife is probably smarter than you? Mm-hmm. She'd probably make better decisions than you would. Women think about things different than men do. They just do. If you let your wife run the house, she'll run it. If you let deacons run the church, they'll run it. But that ain't the way God said it ought to be. That ain't the way it, but see, a lot of times we feel. I just feel like. I've had ladies come to me, and I refuse to get in the middle of these type of things. Would you tell my husband? No, no, I won't. No, no, no. But preacher, I heard you say it from the pulpit, and I agree with it, and he won't do it. Won't you tell him? No, no, I won't. I absolutely will not, because I'm not going to get, no, sir. Mm-mm. I got one wife. I don't want no other wives.
Amen.
I'm a man. There's a lot of pretty women in the world, but I don't want none of them.
No.
Not one of them. Not another one.
Amen.
They're smart. They can do it. Deacons were created for the business of the church. But God said, there has to be a head. There has to be an authority. The whole world is set up on that. I don't believe the same way a lot of Baptists do about a lot of things. I'm probably getting a lot of trouble about this, but I don't even believe in the United States Constitution. I believe the United States, I mean, what I'm trying to get across to you is I believe things differently. I'm a little bit weird in the way I think about things. But you know, I believe that the best government that there ever has been designed is a monarchy.
Yeah. Amen.
Where a king tells everybody what to do. And everybody else is in subjection to it. And we've got right now, we live in a country, we live in a culture, we live in a society. And I believe the Constitution of the United States is scripture inspired from God. I believe the Constitution of the United States, this is for the Bible students in the room. I believe the Constitution of the United States is inspired scripture. Now, I'll let you chew. I should leave it right there and just let you stew in your own poison for the rest. But did you know what the rights of man, you know what a government that was given to us, that men could have their rights protected? You know what happened when they read out the Constitution? You know what they did? They legislated Christian liberty. The only person that deserves any liberty whatsoever, all men are created equal. That's foolishness. That's stupidity. The only person that deserves any liberties whatsoever is somebody that can control themselves. You know what the Lord's proven right here in these last days? He's proven what... You ever heard somebody say, I don't believe a loving God would put sinners in hell? You know what the Lord's doing with this government right here, right now? He's justifying himself in sending people who are not under the law to hell. Because he's legislated for you Christian liberties. The right to do what you think, the right to think what you want to, the right to go where you want to, the right to build where you want to, the right to work where you want to, the right to defend yourself. He's gave the whole lost world or the whole lost United States Christian liberties, and look what they've done with it. The right to have queer pride parades. That's what they do with Christian liberties. Fallen man, God has instituted government over fallen man. And God has put people in authority. And this is the most rebellious generation that there ever has been. We don't live in an age where young men are seeking what they might do for God. We live in an age where people are seeking what God might do for them. And they'll get it by any means necessary. They'll lie while they preach. They'll lift up themselves while they preach. They'll lift up everything under the sun while they preach. They'll lift everything under the sun but truth while they preach. You say, why, they're rebels. You know what I find? I hadn't been a pastor a long time. I hadn't pastored a long time. I don't have as much experience as some, but I got this much experience. 99% of the young preachers that are coming into churches today are using churches as stepping stones to get where they want to be.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And so I say again, what you're dealing with in the matter of subjection and what you're dealing with in the matter of leadership is not about what you feel. And let me say, I'm going to use Brother Michael here as just an example. Has nothing to do with him literally or any other way. I'm just using him as an example. But I'm going to tell you something that's God-honest truth. If the situation were to arise, I'm telling you the God's honest truth, and it could be for you. I won't even use you as an example. I'll just use anybody in the building for an example. I should say a lot of you in the building. But I would have to say, listen, at some point in your life, you're going to have to realize that what somebody else knows about you has more authority than what you feel about you.
That's right.
I had a young fella come to me about 5, maybe 6 years ago, and he said, Brother Mike, I feel like God's calling me into evangelism. And I said, no, he's not. You said, how could you say that? Because I'm not stupid.
Amen.
I've got eyeballs. What I can see outranks what you feel.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The very next week, I'm talking about 7 days away. I'm not speaking in spiritual weeks. This is not the book of Daniel. Real literal 7 days away. Brother Mike, I've been praying all week, and I think God wants me to go into missionary work. No, he doesn't. No, he does not. He felt it.
Yeah.
You know what he did? Instead of going into evangelism, instead of going into missionary work, he moved his wife and kids down into a liberal church where they let him do anything he want to. Now he's standing up teaching against the evils of King James onlyism. He wasn't interested in King James onlyism to begin with. He was interested in getting something out of. Listen, if you ladies got married to your husband to get something out of it, let me tell you what you're going to get out of it first and foremost, a headache. Because he's a nut. He's a man. He stinks. He's stupid. Well, he loves me. He loves rifles and shotguns and bacon. And with all that said, God said you got to be in subjection to it. You have to be in subjection to it. Is it getting hot in here?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Be in subjection to your own husbands. Your own ones. Your own ones. Your own husband. What somebody else thinks about your husband is immaterial.
Amen.
You ought to go to bat for him.
Right.
You ought to stand up for him.
Amen.
If he's stupid, you ought to be stupid with him. If you see him fall, listen, if you see him falling in a mud hole, jump in there with him.
Amen.
Hey. I know it's all funny, but I'm being absolutely serious. Since you're laughing, I'll tell you a funny story. And if you apply it to your life, I promise you, it's going to be true all the way across the board. We got married. I think Brother Allen tried to talk her out of it. But we felt like it was the right time. Amen.
Amen.
We got that little house over there, and it had a gas heater, and I don't like gas. But we moved into that little house, and it finally, it was cold already. It was February, and when we moved in, I lit the gas heater, and the thing on it where you mash the button, and it, of course, I just didn't have one that worked. You're supposed to mash the button, and the pilot light's supposed to light and all that good stuff, but it didn't work. So I got this long Walmart thing, lighter, and stuck my arm down in there, lit that thing up. Yeah, it's burning. Turned it, set the thermostat right, and went about my business. Ruth stuck her head out the door. Smells like gas in here. So I went back in there and looked up. Oh, yeah, the pilot light went out. Click. Stuck my arm down in that heater again, and fire climbed up my arm and burned off my eyebrows and my eyelashes. I can't remember a worse time. It burnt me all up. I run out the door screaming and hollering. Ah! But that wasn't the worst part of it. The worst part of it was Ruth running along beside me. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? I just burnt my arm off. Have you ever hit your thumb and somebody goes, did that hurt?
Yeah.
That felt good. This big bandage means I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
Feel good. I don't want your sympathy. I want a divorce. No, not really.
Oh, yeah.
If I divorced Ruth, we wouldn't have any good decision makers. You know what, though? If that gas would have got out there and that flame would have leapt out there and burnt me and her both, I'd have probably forgot all about my arms and my eyelashes. Mm-hmm. Something about the connection of an event that brings out sympathy. You see what I'm saying to you? It's easy for you to fuss at somebody when they're just, you know, outside looking in, but when somebody's in there with you going through it. Amen. You see what I'm talking about now? When you got married, you both got in there together. Yeah. And listen, if he's going to be a big idiot, you try to make him look like less of an idiot than he is. Yeah. You say, why? Because that subjection just don't go on the days and times when everything feels good. When you get saved and you get into the family of God and you join a church, you're not just part of the church while everything's rosy and while people are shouting and having a good time. You're still a part of the church when somebody's wife leaves them, or when somebody's wife steps out on them, or when somebody's husband steps out on them, and when somebody ain't doing what they ought to do, and when they start thinking about maybe there is a Bible besides the King James Bible, and when they start to go astray. That's still your brother and still your sister in Christ. And if you're subjected to them like you ought to, you'd be down on your face praying for them rather than throwing them under the bus. Amen. There may be a time when they need throwing under the bus. There may be a time when you feel like shooting them. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Some folks ain't worth nothing else but shooting. Amen. 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 I hear preachers running around the country now. We're the only ones. We're Baptists are the only ones that shoot our own. Well, some of them deserve to be shot, to be quite honest with you. Amen. Yeah. But what I'm talking about is you're not going to be in subjection and you're not going to be in the right relationship if you're not in it with them. Amen. You get this thing that comes up between church members, and you get this thing that comes up between husbands and wives. You are not going to fix it by complaining about it. I promise you that. I promise you that. Ladies, you are not going to fix your husband by nagging on him. I promise you that. If there's one thing that a man knows how to do, it's how to be a jerk. A man knows how to be a jerk. And he'll be a jerk to you. Mm-hmm. Don't we? Mm-hmm. Brother Tommy's sitting there like a stoic philosopher. Yes, we do, matter of fact. Fellas, has she ever brought you a meal? After you worked so hard all day, she brought you a meal, and it was the meal that your mama knew how to fix the best. I mean, that was your mama's best meal. And you tasted of it, and it wasn't like mama made it. And you was feeling brave that day, and you said, this ain't like mama made it. How did she react? I can't believe you don't appreciate all that I've done for you. Is that what she done? Oh, yeah. I've never heard one of the... I just assume that's the way it is. It's never happened to me either. Here's where the jerk part comes in. You go off, stew about it, call your sister and complain about it. Call your mother and gossip about it. Put it on Facebook. I can't believe all us women do, you know. And then you sit around and think about it, and by the time you wake up in the morning, oh, I wish I wouldn't have fussed at him. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make his favorite meal. I mean, the meal that I make the best, I make that, and you bring it to him and set it on the plate, and he knows it's his favorite meal. And you know it's his favorite meal, but what's the matter? Don't you like it? Well, I had a late lunch. He's being a jerk. You say, what happened? Well, what you've done is you've stepped on his ability to make decisions. Might be a lot of things. Well, you know, the screen door's been broke for 6 months and you hadn't fixed it yet. When you quit nagging about it, I'll fix it. Now, maybe you're a little mouse and you don't operate that way. Maybe you like being told what to do by your wife. I mean, if that's you, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. But what I'm trying to get across to you is when God sets things in authority, it has to work that way or it's going to fall apart. You know what will happen? One or two things. He'll go on being a jerk. He'll go on being a jerk. Or he'll sit down. He won't say nothing else. He won't assert himself no more. And then you'll be one of those wives sitting around going, how can we never talk anymore? Because every time I open my mouth, I'm wrong. How about that? Some of you are saying, well, I used to pray all the time. God don't answer my prayers no more. What's wrong? He's always wrong. Mm-hmm. You're always right. Yep. You got to have it your way. Good. The person in authority, he's only going to respond to you when you respond correctly to him. Yeah. It don't always, that doesn't always make us happy. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to God, we're on the lower side of the spectrum. Lower side. We'd like to have it our own way a lot of times. We're not going to get it our way all the time. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. His loving kindness is great. Talking about Psalm 103, there's a lot of great and wonderful things that God does for us, but he's not going to do it our way all the time. The difference between surviving and falling apart, though, is going to be subjection every single time. Every single time. Every single time. It's going to be that way every time. Amen. Amen. You think that don't work both ways? It works both ways. Amen. You husbands ever said, hey, I think I'm buying a new gun this week. How does that go over with your wife? The lie I like to use is home defense. A woman likes the word home defense. Darling, we need this gun for home defense. But it don't work more than 4 or 5 times. How much home defense do we need? Exactly who's coming? Who is it we're expecting anyway? About 3 or 4 weeks ago, Ruth was gone. I had the internet all to myself, and I ordered about $150 worth of components for my rifle. I love my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Amen. I saw one part after the next that I wanted. I ordered all those. And then after the fact, after I had already hit enter, submit payment, I sent my wife a text and I said, ordered parts for my rifle, $150. Click. That's the easy way to do it. She sent me back. Her text response was one of those little smiley face things that had the kissy lips. Something's going on here. I kept opening my phone up throughout the day looking at that thing. What could this mean? I expected all the usual arguments. She was like, do we really need this? And then I could say home defense and how are we going to pay for it? And I could say, well, one of the 75 major credit cards. And I could have gave her all the answers. And when she said okay to each one of those or fussed at me for those, it would have been all over. And I would have had my stuff, and I would have won. But it's just a little smiley face with a kissy lips. This woman has poisoned my drink. She's poisoned my water. This is not right. I began to get under conviction. I should call and cancel that order. That's what I should do. I should probably do that. I get back on the website, all sales are final. What am I going to do? You keep reading that chapter right there, a meek and a quiet spirit.
Amen.
Ladies, you know how to get a hold of your husband and get him to do what you want to? Go get in a prayer closet someplace.
Amen.
And start praying God will work over him. And when he says, I think we're going to do this, if that's what you think's right. I hate that worse than anything. I hate that. Hey, for man or woman, you can end an argument quick in your house. Just say, you're right. You're right. Husband comes in fussing. You're right. I'm terrible. You're right. You're too proud to do something like that, though. But it ends arguments right on the spot. I preached that in a church. And in our church down there, I heard a woman say, ain't no way. Ain't no way. They're still fussing and fighting to the, I mean, if that's the way you want to do it, fine. But I tell you what, next time he tries to spend more money than he's making, text him up, kissy face. If that's what you think the Lord's leading you to do, darling. We're fixing to move up here. Alan's got 5 or 10 or 15 four-wheelers in the garage. I think I'll buy me a four-wheeler so I can spend some time with those little nephews and they can ride those little ones and I'll ride the big one. If that's what you think the Lord's leading you to do, darling, let's do that. Look down at verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This thing of subjection, it goes both ways. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 5 says, defraud ye not one another. And it goes on to tell you a lot of things about the relationship between a husband and wives. We won't get into all that, but you know, that defraud, it means cheat them out of what's due to them. A lot of people, when they read that passage, they skip right over everything reasonable and sensible to a marital relationship. And I'm not graphic when I preach, but I think if you're old enough to understand, you know what I'm talking about. But most people, when they read that passage about defrauding not one another, they skip right to a marital relationship between a husband and a woman. They forget about everything else that's due to one another. Amen? And when you don't give those things that's due to them, brother, somebody was talking to me before church, I can't remember who it was, but they quoted the verse about rendering to your spouse, rendering to your husband, rendering to your wife, due benevolence. To your wife, due benevolence. And listen, there's things that are due to one another when you're married. When you're a Christian, there's something that's due to one another as a church. Amen?
Amen.
When you get that set order or arrangement that God laid out himself, when you get that out of whack, your marriage is going to be out of whack. Your church is going to be out of whack. Your whole life is going to be out of whack. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's just the way it is. It can't be no other way. There's only one way to do things, folks. I mean, you can run to the psychologist and run to some preacher that'll agree with you so he can get you to stick around his church, but there just ain't no other way to make things like this work. No way in the world. No way in the world. You can do it God's way and it'll turn out right, or you can do it some other way and it's going to turn out something less than that. There's a lot of degrees under there. Might fall out. I mean, you might have a little problem. You might have a lot. Don't know your particular situation, but I know it ain't going to work out right. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Amen. She's not just there to cook your meals.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She deserves honor and respect.
Amen.
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 The Bible says she's a weaker vessel. One of the best lessons I learned about being a father and a husband, I learned it the first time I whooped one of my kids. Oh, I don't enjoy that. Anybody enjoy whooping their kids? Boy, you, something wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. From that day to this, I've never took anything out on my kids. If I'm having a bad day, that don't go on my wife, and that don't go on my kids.
Yeah.
Amen. It don't, that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Tell her you love her once in a while.
Yeah. Amen.
Tell her she's pretty once in a while.
Amen.
Well, you know, she don't look like she did when we got married. Have you looked at yourself lately?
Amen.
I got news for you, big boy. You wasn't pretty when she married you. I ain't never seen a pretty man. Have you?
Nope.
Say that louder.
No.
Boy, I expect if I said to another man, I ain't never seen a pretty man. Have you? He's supposed to go like, no! I ain't even seen a pretty ugly one. These ladies get up about 40 years old and start joining the gym and wearing yogurt pants all around town. There's a reason for that. I wonder why my wife's starting to act like this. Don't she like me no more? No, it's because you don't like her no more.
Amen, brother.
Well, my wife's full of the devil. I suspect that if the devil, if she is full of the devil, it probably jumped off of you and got on her. She caught it from you like a disease, like catching a cold or the flu. It's due to her. Respect her, amen. Half of these boys growing up today don't even know how to wash a dish or do a load of laundry or mow the yard. Or even what a yard is. The yard is that green stuff that you pass on the way from your kitchen table to the car. The green stuff. Amen? Amen. Well, that's a different message for a different time. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, giving honor unto her. You think it's not something that's serious, but it really is a serious thing in the day. And most marriages are ending in divorce in this day and time. And Christians ought to be the example of the ones that can keep a marriage together and can keep a life together and can dwell with one. I'm happy to be with my wife. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got her. I know that I got saved by the grace of God, and I feel like it was the grace of my wife to marry me. I really do. Amen. I'm glad I got her. She's a good woman. She's a good woman. Amen. About a couple of months ago, I spent a good... I don't know how long it was, but I spent a good while telling our church how lucky they was to have a good pastor's wife. Because it's true. I believe that. And don't speak ill to my wife. I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just talking to the whole world. Don't speak ill to her. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. Come talk to me about it. If you got something to say about her, come talk to me about it. Amen? And if you can't do that, send your wife to talk to me about it.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I love her.
Amen.
Amen. She's my wife. She got faults, and I've got faults, and everybody's got faults. I understand all that. But, boy, I hold her in high regard. When I was growing up, I looked at Jewel Lackey as the only sinless female, my pastor's wife. Well, she was like an icon sent from God, could do no wrong, come pick me up on the bus, took me to church, got saved, and my mom and daddy started coming, got saved. I was like, man, this lady has changed our lives.
Amen.
I saw a couple of women like that, a few women like that in my lifetime, and then got to marry one. Now, every once in a while, I look at her and say,
amen.
That's all I say. I just say that. How could a fella like Alan Ryman make a girl like that?
Amen.
So I don't think that way about my wife. Well, you might feel better if you did.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I think I'll just leave it at that. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Amen. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, God, for your many mercies. Lord, I realize that there's principles that we have to live up to. There's standards that we have to live up to. But Lord, there's also a real and a true reckoning in this life with regards to our responsibilities, with the things, God, that we must live up to in our own lives. God, I don't know what the world called, I guess the world calls it a pecking order or a chain of command. And Lord, I just call it our responsibilities. Our responsibilities as men and women. I pray, God, you'd help us to live up to these. I pray, God, you'd help us to be the very best husbands and the very best wives and the very best Christians and the very best deacons and the very best pastors and the very best witnesses that we can possibly be. Help us to realize that there is a way to do things. And many times the answers to all the problems that we're going through is not counseling. It's not all these different fad programs that come through. A lot of times it's just getting down to the basics. And God, help us to see that just going back and doing the first works, whether it's salvation or our marriage or whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, just doing the first works and the basic works will do a great deal in our lives and do great, have great consequences in our lives. I pray, God, you'd help us to see it. Help us to follow it. Now, thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen.